Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Schmozone Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Fusion CBD. Fusion CBD Products has the best CBD products on the market. They have their CBD sports water, their sleep and recovery, their instant freeze, their intense relief rub, among many other great products. This stuff works. This stuff's great. If you're an active person, if you need help sleeping with your recovery, I highly recommend using Fusion CBD products. Love it. Use the promo code SCHMO for 20% off. You will not regret it. And the other sponsor of today's podcast is Bloomon. Yes, Bloomon. This is the best hair products on the market by far. Use the promo code SCHMO to get 10% off. Look at that. They got their sample package right there. All five you could try out. The Monarch, the Hybrid, the Cavalier, the Original, the Fifth Sample. I personally love the Fifth Sample. This stuff is great. It leaves the SCHMO's hair looking fresh, nice, shiny, clean, smooth. Highly recommend it. Get you some. Let's start the show. One, two, three. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the 31st episode of the Schmozone Podcast. I'm Dave Schmolensen. My co-host is...
Helen Esports.
It's good to be back, Helen.
I know. 31 episodes already. Time's moving quick. It's already almost... It's September.
September 1st. Man, time flies. We are heading into the fall.
I know. Nice jersey.
The White Sox, baby, got to represent South Side of Chicago, even though I grew up on the North Side, diehard White Sox fan, and they're in first place.
Who's on the back, though?
Joe Creedy is my favorite player. Hey, he was the hero. Joe Creedy, 2005 World Series champion White Sox, our third baseman. He was a stud. Had some back issues later on in his career, but great, great baseball player. Great defensive baseball player.
Well, it looks good on you.
Thank you. So does Austin 316. Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Or what?
Yeah, we both grew up watching wrestling, so it was big for us. Before we begin, today's episode guest, he is on his way. Mm-hmm. The Machine, yes. La Machina, Mirab Dvalishvili. He's coming in here in the flesh. Making his way, but I figured we start the show, just you and I first.
I know. I need to ask him because, like you mentioned, his nickname, The Machine, and wasn't it Al who showed us Al Iaquinta how he was running on, you know, Red Rock or something?
Yeah, we brought it up in a former podcast with Aljamain, his other printing partner.
And his freaking cardio. I'm like, oh my gosh, because, you know, I've been swimming and I need, like, that type of cardio.
I think I've said this before, probably as the schmo, but I think Mirab's probably got the best cardio of all the fighters in the UFC, and we just brought it up, too. He trains out in Long Island, Cerro Longo, so Aljamain Sterling, Al Iaquinta, and I think his teammate also on the Contender Series.
Dennis,
he's fighting today, too. So without further ado, let's bring in the Machine, La Machina. I'm going to put on the schmo glasses. And let's do this the right way, right? Let's start this off. What's up, Mirab?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. These headphones are for you, my friend. Okay. And then you can talk right through there.
Awesome.
And I'm wasting time. Cool. This is the Schmo with the pro, a man who's 12-4, the number 13th ranked UFC bantamweight in the world, the Machine, La Machina, Mirab Dvalishvili, here in studio. How we doing?
I'm doing great.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Always good to see you, man.
Always good to see you. Safe flight from New York to get here in Las Vegas?
Yes. Easy.
Teammates fighting on Contender Series today?
Yeah. Dennis Bezuki are fighting tonight, and he's going to make big statement. If he wins, of course he's going to win, and he goes to UFC. Yes.
That's a big statement, just like you. Now talk to me for a second, man. There's no other bantamweight in the history of the UFC that has more takedowns than you in a fight. I think you have 3 fights now with 10-plus takedowns. That's more than GSP. The schmo believes he has 2. The real question is, when are you going to catch up to Khabib? I think he's got 21 takedowns in a fight. You've got 13 so far.
I think next fight I will focus on this, and I will try, you know. But if not next fight, I mean, it's going to be easy for me because it's my style, you know. Like, mix it up, bam, bam, take him down.
Rapid fire from the schmo real quick here. I know you called out Sugar Sean O'Malley, but he lost his last fight. Do you still want to fight him next?
I do want to fight with him again. He lost, but that was weird. Like, that was like accident, you know. He has an ankle damage or something, and we don't really see like what really happened. And I would like to challenge myself against him. And we both same weight class. We both like almost same ranked, and it's gonna be good matchup, you know. Interesting, because he's good striker. They call me more grappler, so we will see.
We'll probably revisit that. Helen Esports is all about that topic. The last question from the schmo here is, on a scale 1 to 10, 10 being the most, how much are you going to miss Chris Weidman now that he's moving down to South Carolina? I think he moved in.
Yeah, of course. This is good for his family, but I believe he's going to come and training. He's going to still come for training with us. I mean, he's going to, when he has a fight, he's going to move like for like training camp. He's gonna spend with us, and we will training together. But he's gonna be, of course, he moves with family. For family, it's good for both. They have good schools, more good stuff over there. But because New York goes crazy now.
That's right. And it's called Longo Weidman for a reason. Ray Longo and Chris Weidman share the gym. Chris is gonna get his steak. Right. Appreciate you being a good sport.
Thank you.
I'm going to take off the glasses. Rob, I just wanted to do that with you for a long time, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
It's been a long time. I even got you a pair of these things,
okay,
too.
Should I
whatever you want, man. You're the machine. The machine can do whatever he wants. I just want to give you a pair of schmo glasses.
Yeah, this is big moment for me. Oh, looks good.
Looks great.
I cannot change my voice, but
it's okay. You don't need to. It looks good, right, Helen?
Oh, it looks great. Looks better than you wearing them.
Half the time, at least, yeah.
Wait, so I want to start off and say, because I feel like before your last fight, you were saying that was the last one that you were also working full-time. So now are you officially full-time fighter?
Yes, I am. Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, like that's crazy sometimes, because I wasn't busy UFC. When I got the UFC contract, I was thinking that like once I fight UFC, I can leave my job. But first fight, and that was, I was sick, and unfortunately, and even I did good job, I win fight, but judges don't like, that was my split decision loss. And money wasn't enough, especially for me, for immigrant, you know, who moved from Georgia. And like, we need the money. Money is like a lot of things. And I was working extra, you know, like I was full-time construction worker. And now it's really, I'm happy with my whatever money I make from UFC, and I don't need to work anymore.
How did you manage and balance both?
I was working all day, like from morning to like 4, sometimes 4:30, and after I was coming gym and training. And but I was training 1 time a day, but because of we training harder, we training good and smart, still I make UFC, and even now.
But was that always the plan, to work full time and balance part time fighting until your last fight, or did it come earlier or later?
I mean, I when I moved here, I was thinking to like couple more fights and I will go UFC, and I was thinking everything will happen easy, but nothing easy, and nothing was easy. When I moved here, I have a in Georgia 10 fights, but when I moved here, when like promoters check, it wasn't professional. I wasn't website, wasn't in a short dog on Tapology, you know, like my fight wasn't professional fight, and all my fight was amateurs over there. Like, it looks like it wasn't in website official, so I have to start an amateur. I did 3 fight amateur. Actually, beginning of when I moved here, I cannot even find a good right gym. Like, I was training small gym, kickboxing gym, and
in New York.
New York, yeah, Long Island. Because I moved to my friend, and he don't knows like MMA, like he don't knows MMA, Chico gyms, and he don't know anything. I don't know anything also, like when I beginning, like 8 years ago. And then they cannot even give me like MMA fights, and they only know the boxing promoters and kickboxing promoters. And I was fighting boxing. I'm a judo. My background is judo and wrestling. But I was fighting boxing. I mean, that was so crazy. Like, I'm not a boxer, so.
So you had to learn pretty quickly. So you moved here 8 years ago.
When you were 21.
When you were 21. So you're looking for a gym.
22, actually.
22?
Yeah.
Helen, you got
sorry.
Okay, something.
Google messed me up.
Okay.
So you move here, you look for that gym. Right. You know, this is 8 years ago. You already have amateur fights over in Georgia, but because of the websites and terms, it doesn't count. So you have to go back into the amateur ranks here.
Right.
Were you pretty much dominating those opponents early on because you already had the amateur, and then you're fighting more amateurs?
Okay, that's another story also. I was ready for fight anybody, anywhere where I want to fight, and they cannot give me any MMA fights. And they said, okay, you got to fight boxing. I said, okay, I will fight boxing. And I win boxing fight, and they give me 2 kickboxing fight, and I win. And they said, now it's a golden glove, or it's golden, you got to try golden gloves. I'm like, I don't even know what was Golden Gloves. And I win one match, Golden Gloves, and next match was 2 weeks later. I win that match. That was so hard for me because I don't have technique, so I was just pressured. And I mean, every punch my opponent threw, look at my nose. That's
you,
why.
You wear it well, though.
I was doing it. I was winning because I have a good cardio. I was just pressured in crazy fight. I win 3 matches, and then for like semifinal, I make weight and I go for semifinal. And then they said, oh, they check in YouTube or something. They found that I have a lot of fights, and you was fighting like a pro, like because no headgear, no like, then like 5 rounds fights, and they said you are pro. Like, if I pro, how I like, why you guys let me sign here, and then why I win 3 fights already, and whatever. So they kicked me out, they don't let me fight in Golden Gloves, and that was, and I said, oh, it's so hard to like, I realized I cannot do anything, and I was thinking to quit. I was thinking to, it's so hard to like, I said, I cannot make UFC. Like, I mean, it's, I was so, I mean, whatever, thank God, finally I found the Sara Longo team. And once I was walk in like Longo's gym, and I realized I can still dream about UFC, and I can still do my job. And since then, I keep training, keep working, and now I make pro debut with my team, Sara Longo team, and wasn't go well because I lost my first fight. I win second, and I take short notice fight. I lose second, and I was a little broken again, but I take a little, some time off. But that's where I realized I love this. Doesn't matter win or loss, I still love this, and then I go back and training hard, and now I'm UFC.
And you're doing
what a story.
You're doing well in the UFC too, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
So when you go in that gym, the Longo Sara BJJ, and you come into contact with Ally Quinta and Aljamain Sterling over the years, like what was that relationship like with some of those guys that your teammates now? What were some of those first practices like?
Yeah, the energy, I feel it. Everybody's so nice in our team. Everybody's so, like, everybody's smiling. Everybody's so, like, they treat you like a family. Once you step in, doesn't matter where you're from, who you are. And that's what I love about my team. And that time my English, well, even still now my English not good, but that time, like, I don't speak English. I cannot even talk. But they treat me like a family, and that's where I love. And that was big for me. And that was my motivation to keep training hard. And they support me. I support them always. And teamwork, you know, we were training together, make better to each other, now teamwork, you know, and so that was big things and big good things, with training with Al, and all good stuff, only good stuff. We were training together and make each other better, and that was it.
What about the impact that your teammate, who's also in the bantamweight division, fighting for the title next, Aljamain? What impact has he had on your career so far?
Oh, he has a big impact, because I can say I learned he was my main sparring partner for me. And everything I learned, good stuff. I was fighting, but I was fighting from instinct, and I have a judo and sambo background, and I know, of course, takedown always, but it's a MMA. It's now a lot of new stuff. You have to learn technique, and all good technique and tricky stuff I learned from Aljo, and he has a big effect in my MMA career, of course. And I learn everything. I look up Aljo, and I look up Al Iaquinta. I look up Chris Weidman, and of course that because of them, that's that's who I am now.
But where does the cardio come from? Because you fight at this crazy pace where you can continue impressive. To have this energy throughout the rounds, these three rounds where you can continuously go takedown after takedown and smother your opponent, get in your opponent's face. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I mean, training with hard, training with Aljo, actually, because, I mean, a lot of people don't realize Aljo, he... good striker, great grappler. And when you're sparring with him, you gotta do everything for to catch up with him. And sparring with him, and also I make sure that I push my cardio always. I was running hills in my country. Once I moved here, I always try to run and do matches, a lot of match, jiu-jitsu, wrestling. I always push my cardio.
I mean, here in Vegas, we have the mountains. I know what you did at Red Rock. I saw the videos a few weeks back. We saw that. You don't have the mountains in New York. No. You might have some hills, but they're nothing like these mountains in this dry heat.
No, man. In Vegas, when I saw all these beautiful rocks and this, my memory was back. I have a memory from Georgia, mounts and this, and I chasing I was so happy. I was running like a kid, and I was just go run. Unfortunately, in New York, we don't have any mounts or something like that. We have only 35 feet, a little hills, and then we Ray Longo we training us to we do 5 minutes up and down, up and down, up and down, and some shadow boxing technique. And we do three 5 minute rounds, up and down, running like crazy. So that's all we have. Then that's where we're training.
I was that's a great idea, because that's what I want to ask him. Your cardio is I need it for swimming. So
it's admirable.
Yeah.
And then the one thing though, too, what I've always liked about you and what you just kind of hit it home too, it's you are, whether you believe it or not or see it or not, you are a definition of the American dream. You come to this country, you don't have much, you work your tail off, you experience your ups and downs, and if you work hard enough and if you're confident enough and your abilities and you seek through even the dark days, you will come out on top and you will achieve what you want to achieve. And here you are. You are the number 13th ranked UFC bantamweight in the world. The best MMA promotion in the world. You are a top 15 fighter on your way towards gold. Your teammate is fighting for gold next. I mean, hasn't still been announced yet, but yeah, it's been announced, you know? That's amazing.
Exactly, man. This is exactly how you say it. This is really this is dream come true, and this is I appreciate this country. I left my country and when I moved here I don't have nothing. I don't even speak English, but I was working hard. I realized I have to work hard, and even mentally I was dreaming for UFC and to become professional fighter. But first, the beginning, like I said, I cannot even fight MMA. I cannot even found the promotion. I cannot even, no one can help me to give me MMA fights. And I was thinking to quit that done. I said, I cannot do it. Like, if no fights and no, I wasn't training, no training partners. I was hitting bags only. And by hitting bags, like, you cannot. And whatever. So, but and after this, even my professional, when I make pro debut, I lost and I was heartbroken. Also, like, you know, but I was keep working hard, and with the training, I was working like construction. But I knew if I work hard, then I can make it. And yeah, now. Life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Like, now I'm able to do a lot of good things now, and I relax now. I you know. Yeah, I mean.
How old were you when you had that vision to want to move to America when you were 22?
I was like, once I started MMA fighting in Georgia, and I was doing well. And of course, I was watching UFC, and the goal was always UFC. And I was thinking, I was 10-0 UFC. I was 10-0 in Georgia, and and that time I was just go, and I usually was finish guys first round, because if guy was like wrestler, I was trying to stand up like a, I was fighting like a street, like a crazy instinct fight, and I was able to finish. And if guy was a stand up guy, I was take him down and like do some chokes and stuff. And I was thinking too, I can do same thing here, and I can go UFC. And I was best that time. But when I moved here and I sparring with Aljo, I realized I wasn't there level yet, and I need to hard work. And I step back and I started hard work like little by little, and I'm still trying to catch up with Aljo, like give it to him good round. He still beat me up.
So outside of your teammates and Aljamain, who did you watch in the UFC, or who do you like to watch now too, for that matter?
I used to be like George St. Pierre. He's very smart and he's very intelligent. Like he never makes like really big mistakes or like something. And now I watch. I watch pretty much everybody now. I try to watch everybody, but my favorite fighter is George St. Pierre. Yeah.
Would you like to see him come back and fight Khabib? Oh, if Khabib beats Justin, of course.
100%. I would love to watch this fight, but I cannot imagine how he can make the 155. Oh, this is, I don't know.
I've wondered that too.
Yeah, and if he makes it, I don't think he's going to be same, because
he's, what, 39 years old too? So his body is already in a position where it's going to be harder to cut that weight too. And he hasn't fought at that weight before. You're asking a lot of him to come out of retirement and to come at that weight against arguably the greatest fighter in MMA history. So,
right. Yeah, I hope maybe they should meet some cut weight, maybe 165 or something.
I proposed that from the get-go, 165. And now you have Anthony Smith saying, 205 And 185 is too big of a gap. There's no 195 pound or anything in between. Or his situation was tough. He's too big for middleweight.
Right.
And he might be too small for light heavyweight.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. But then now, especially like the little guys, they should make 165.
I like that. There's just so many fighters in the 155 and 170 weight class.
Right.
You could have it. You could do something great. And then make 170, 175. Make it increments of 10.
Yeah, why not? That would be good. Good, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, I mean, even now Habib has hard fight. It's not gonna be easy. I'm sure he's gonna. I still think he can win this fight, and hopefully George is next.
Yeah, and I would love that 165 with those two fighting, if that's the case, if he gets through Justin Gaethje. Right. But let's talk about the matchup of your teammate, Aljamain Sterling, against Petr Yan. What are you going to do? What's the secret sauce? You're not giving away the X's and O's here, but what do you think Aljamain, as it stands now, has enough in the tank to beat Petr and become the Bantamweight champion?
100%. Easy, man. I mean, Petr Yan is 100%. He's talented, he's strong, but Aljamain is another level, man. And especially now, how he's training, how he looks things, and he has the best grappling and best MMA technique. And
you're not just saying that because he's letting you stay at his house right now.
I'm
just messing with you.
No, yeah, I know, but no, definitely not. Because I felt I went once I sparring with Aljo, I feel like I still amateur, but I sparring with other guys, it's easy, and fighting easy. But Aljo, like, and also set up BJJ, like when we do like a Tuesday night, we have a big everybody, like black belts, and everybody, we're training together, and sometimes, you know, to each other, like heavyweight guys to 135 guys, we do MMA, no, I mean jiu-jitsu matches. So Aljo go everybody and doing well with everybody, like, and then he's so, and stand up also, he's doesn't matter, you know, he's big guys and everybody, he's doing good. And I mean, he has a lot of experience in UFC. He has a lot of fights, and Aljo has his grappling. The grappling will change the.
We saw what it did against Corey Sanhagen, a tall, lengthy guy, and that was just 88 seconds.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes,
got the win in 88 seconds.
Yes.
What about you, though? When can we expect to see you back?
Soon as possible. I want to fight like next month. I'm ready. I'm healthy. Like
Fight Island?
Anything.
Because I think, you know, when we hit mid, late September through the end of October, all the fights won't be here at the Apex. They're going to be over at Fight Island.
Anywhere. I'm down. I just want to fight.
We saw a fellow Georgia country woman fighter in the UFC.
Leanna,
we saw
Georgia, yes.
We saw her compete at Fight Island.
Yes, I think this is it's just secret, but I think next fight also she's going to fight at Fight Island. It's not the fight that not pronounced yet, but she's going to fight again in Fight Island. Yeah, she's good.
And you know her opponent too? You know all the secrets, it seems.
I know secret, but I cannot say now.
Gotcha, because it hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but they're not.
I anticipated we'd see her again. She was very, very amazing during that last fight.
Right,
so
right,
great performance.
Yeah, yes.
Can strike, which is huge
too.
But also, though, I mean, and the last thing I'd say about Aljamain too, your teammate, it's you guys are both in the same weight division, right? And he's going for gold. I know you have ambitions for gold at some point too. Whatever happens if it gets to that point? I know we're talking way down the line here, but what happens if we get in that position, Murat?
I will change weight class. We're not fighting. Definitely, we're never going to fight. It doesn't make sense because he still beat me anyways. So I will go down
to 125.
125, yes.
What do you think about Cody Garbrandt going down to fight Davison?
Uh, oh, This is good. Good for him. He's going down, but it's gonna be hard. It's not gonna be easy. You know, this guy is really strong. Whatever we see last was so we everybody saw last two fight or even like his animal. So I wish him best of luck, but it's gonna be tough match.
I know you told Shmo in the beginning. You guys talked about the Sean O'Malley stuff. So
yeah.
For you though, who would you want to fight next if you could choose?
Still Sean O'Malley. I still love to fight with him. I still think he's the best striker, and he's really strong, and I love to fight strong guys and good. I mean, but if not, anybody UFC give me, I'm ready, no problem. I think now my opponent should be 100% the ranked, and I would love to fight anybody. I respect all of them. Ranked guys, even the UFC, my weight class, but whoever UFC give me, I'm ready.
Yeah, even in your last fight a couple weeks ago, Dodson, I mean, that's someone who's knocked out former champion TJ Dillashaw.
Right.
You know, that's someone who's, you know, has a good, strong reputation and proven it in this promotion. So was he your toughest opponent to date? Because you looked great. You looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Who's been that toughest opponent today if it wasn't him?
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
So it's okay.
Who's
the hardest fighter that you fought so far inside the cage?
Actually, that song was really, like, I was thinking, he's really hard. Like, a lot of people also told me, like, oh, this is, like, annoying fighter because he's southpaw, he's running too much. I did smart and that was easy. Tapas opponent, it's everybody like now no one is easy, but I believe myself and I'm training hard and I'm ready for everybody, no problem.
What did you think about Frankie Edgar's bantamweight debut?
I'm like hands up, you know. I don't know, he's big respect, this man, big respect, because like this age, whatever he's done in UFC already, he has a lot of records and most time spent in UFC. I mean, he's amazing fighter, and whatever performance we see, that was big. And I don't know. I'm sure now he has a lot of injuries. But, I mean, I think his legs, I think he still needs a time to come back. But I mean, we'll see. I don't know.
So are you getting into real estate too, like El Jermaine and Al too? You selling houses?
No.
Not yet?
No, it's actually not easy. I'm trying, like I said, I'm trying to buy house now, and then me and Al, we've been going to like look houses. And
here in Vegas?
No.
In New York?
New York now, I just want to buy a house in New York, and I'm thinking to future, I'm thinking to maybe buy a house, but definitely to some time spend here and training here, because so we have Apex, UFC Performance Institute, and good guys like you, and like a lot of good stuff here, and it's a happy place here, and I definitely want to spend some time here training here.
Yeah, good vibes here.
Maybe
in Las
picture
Vegas.
I will buy a house, but for now I want to buy house in New York, but the real estate, you know, to be real estate agent, it's hard because like we've been already maybe see 10, 15 house, but I don't really, I like two house, but they have already offer and somebody take already. So, it's hard. I tell Al, it's not easy to like, we go see house and then I don't like it, and then we gotta go again maybe 15 more times, and I finally choose something.
Well, what's important to you when you go and find a house?
First, I'm looking for like if it has big garage for like maybe set up some gym, and like nice and quiet backyard. And I like to be close to store, and I like more rooms to possible, and basement, and it goes on and on. It's like, and then like this house, expensive, like has the close to store, basement, big garage, a lot more rooms, more nice. I am looking to like balance all this.
How's Aljamain's house though here?
Beautiful, I love it, of course. Like great house, beautiful house. Like this house, New York, like maybe 3 times more price. And here, it's very like, it's cheap, like compared to New York. And a beautiful house, I love it, I love it, of course. Big rooms, big closets, a lot of bedrooms, a pool, and a nice neighborhood and everything, good.
And you're someone who can handle the heat here too, so that's not a problem for
Red
you.
Red Rock hiking?
Yeah, it keeps up. But let's bring back Ally Quinta. When's he going to fight next? Any fight news with him?
He's healing up now. He just did the knee surgery again. And now once he's going to heal up his knee, and he always been training hard, and he's ready, he's hungry. He was talking about before, like he was some top 10 guys, it's gonna be big fight. I mean, there is some talk and some conversation going on. Of course he wants fight the toughest opponent, and once he's gonna heal up his knee and he's gonna come back, and we all see his performance.
You think towards the end of 2020 or maybe the beginning of 2021 with his knee?
I would say maybe in 5-6 months, I think.
He's always a tough fighter.
Yes, he's warrior.
He's got that blueprint against Habib in that lightweight division.
Yeah, he like now I used to be love fight like crazy, like just come and just throw some punches and take down. I don't know, like crazy. But now I realize last couple fight, I'm fighting smart. I don't like to get hit too much, and I like to take him down, control, and just being smart, you know. I'm not taking too much damage, but Al, he just comes and just throw bombs, and he's just like he always great fight. He is,
he's raging now.
Yeah.
Raging now.
Well, 1 year from now, where do you see your career?
The first thing, I gotta go back again. One time when I moved here, I was rushing, you know, like, oh, I wanna do everything so fast, I'm ready, whatever. But yeah, but and when I lost and whatever, and like when once I rush and I don't think it don't go well. But now I don't have to rush. I just wanna keep fighting step by step. I just wanna move forward. I'm ready for fight, like I said, next month, and I wanna be busy now. I'm not working, I'm training hard. Now I came here for support Dennis, but I'm gonna training now like with my team, and we're gonna go PI, we're gonna go Nikaton's gym, and I gotta training also. I'm ready for I'm training hard, and I'm ready for like go step by step. I'm not rushing. I'm ready for everything. I just wanna fighting, win every single match, and of course, goal is UFC belt. But now I'm not rushing. Maybe 2 years later, even I don't wanna rush. I'm ready. I wanna fighting like 10 more years at least. So I'm not. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. So.
Good approach. Good assassin approach. 10 years, the longevity game. Did you say training at Randy Couture's gym? Is that the...
Yes.
We brought this up on the last
everyone
podcast.
Everyone trains
Extreme
there.
Couture, which is actually not far from us down the street. It seems like it's this hub now for all these other fighters from all these gyms, where if they're not getting time at the UFC Performance Institute, they're going over there and getting some work.
Yes, because they are very welcome. They... team, they no problem. Everybody can go and training there, and then like a lot of good training partners, and they have a classes like MMA, like, you know, if I go UFC Performance Institute, you gotta bring your people, and then you gotta training with your guys, and you gotta training your own. But they have, Katon's gym, they have MMA classes already, and some classes, and you can everybody can train. Like, you don't have to think too much. You know, you just, the coach tell you do what to do, and then you training with them.
Aren't those pro classes later in the afternoon, too?
I think they training noon, I believe. Noon, like 12 or 1.
I guess the hours would be adjusted because of this COVID situation, yeah, too. We haven't really spent as much time over there as we were before the pandemic. I remember those pro classes were later in the afternoons. But
I think so,
but
yeah.
But now I can see that.
I actually have even taken some jiu-jitsu classes years ago, but it was over there too. Yeah.
Oh, nice. They're doing a good job over there. They're getting a lot of fighters like yourself in there.
Yes.
So construction and UFC. What's your family think of all of this back home? Are they still back home in Georgia?
Yeah, my family, they all in Georgia. They thank God, then I don't have to worry about them. They all doing well. They all good. And they always support. They told me, you happy there? Do your thing, and just we are happy for you. But beginning, like when I was fighting, getting hit, I was like, sometimes I have bruises, broken nose, and they told me, if they don't pay you nothing, and it's, why you still fighting if you still work in construction? Like, just do your thing and get better in construction. Why you breaking your nose? Like, they told me, but I said no. I love fighting. Even I'm fighting free, and I love fighting. I can fight free without money, but now it's, of course, now it's a good things that they pay. Now I make money for us. So. I mean, I love fighting. Construction was, I have to, when I move here, I have to work to make money and pay my bills and to be strong and to be able to do MMA, because.
I've heard construction pays well, though.
Yes, actually, good money, yes. More work, you learn more, getting better and more experience, money goes up, and you can do. I still like construction. Now I love it. Before I come here, and beginning was hard. I was helper only to, once I started construction, I didn't know anything. I was just helper, good helper. And after I learned a lot of things to fix things. And now I can do very well, but I don't have just time. I still love it, but I don't have time to do. But actually, I help Aljo. I fix his kitchen. I did his tile. I did.
Oh, yeah. You did the flooring. Cool. You did the tiling.
Yeah.
I hope he gave you a premium price for that too, you know?
No, that was friendship. Usually I was doing framing, doors, roofing, pretty much a foundation, everything, but I can do tile too. But tile is, I think, worst. I don't like tile.
So actually, my first job when I was 15 years old, I was working for a cousin's family friend, Hispanic guy. I was painting houses. I was fixing screens. Wow. I was going all, wow, on the roofs and stuff like that. Wow. Ceiling tiles. Yeah, I was doing all that stuff. Wow. That was my first job.
Wow.
I'll never forget the time, though. It was a hot summer in Illinois. I grew up 25 miles out of the city of Chicago, and I went into a hornet's nest, and I got stung all over my face, swole up like a balloon. And I still went out the next day and finished the job because I was getting paid in cash.
Yeah,
that's good money. Sometimes you get paid cash. It's
good
money,
man.
Right?
It's hard to say no. Yeah, when I know that I go and I make $200 a day now, you know, because cash, it's good money.
Yeah, you can't. One thing though, I do want to ask you about too, is because there's a lot of ignorant people. They see you wearing the black headdress that you wear, and people are like, oh, it's like Habib, but Habib's is yellow, is blonde, but it's nothing like that. You guys are in two different countries. Just to clarify to any people that don't understand the differences and nuances, what's the symbolic, the significance of wearing what you wear?
Yeah, the head's called papaka. This is made from animals. What's they called? I forgot the animal's name. So this is usually natural from animals.
Animals' hair.
Yeah, hair. And they, all the people who used to be live mountains and like They used to be real because it's warm, and this is traditional here. I'm from Caucasus and Khabib's country, from like 3-4 country, like the Caucasus is mount, the big mountain.
Yeah.
So and then so Georgia is at like left side, the Khabib's country other side, the right side. But we all from like same like mounts, you know, the mounts called Caucasus. The we all from like same area.
Okay.
Yeah, like Khabib from Dagestan, and next to the Dagestan is Chechnya, and the other side is Georgia, and then after, and then it's Russia also next to our country. But now Russia, now Dagestan and Chechnya, they are part of the Russia, and Russia tried to occupy Georgia, but we still have a war. We have a beautiful country. We don't want the part of the Russia, and Russia still try to occupy our territory, but we still have a war with Russia. We defend ourselves. It's even it's hard. We are small. We only 5 million. Russia have 150 million, but they try to do like not good stuff. We have our own everything. We have our own language. We have our right alphabets. It's one of those from the 12 alphabets in the world. We both from Caucasus, and then we have also white papaya, black papaya. They have also like we have almost same traditional like dress, like what's they call the costume, and then we are like similar people. We used to be same people, but only different between us the religious. Like they are Muslim, and we are Christians. They only. Different between us, this is, but we all same people, like we all same people, like people.
So honoring, kind of like a warfare and battle type thing, like the semblance of it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We both have, yeah, like Chechnya, Dagestan. Then Georgia. We are from Caucasus, and we have a same symbolic, and yeah, we coming from.
What is this animal here? I want to know what the animal is. Like a wild boar type thing?
I forgot the name.
You can pull up a picture. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll figure it out. I'm too curious to let that go astray.
I gotta show you now. Yes. I gotta show you now.
No problem.
How often do you go home and get to visit family?
First 5 years, like, you know, like, I don't... You know, I wasn't go home, but I was staying here and working, training and fighting. But after my second fight UFC, and I go like almost 6 years later, I go first time, and I was so happy. My family, my friends, everybody's happy. And after my fight, I go and celebrate there because it's different, and everybody's so happy for me. And especially it's big thing for like a small country like Georgia. This is big, like to fight UFC, win. They so happy. They every time I go, they waiting for me airport, and like we do. I mean the TV and the national TV and everybody, and they have everybody happy for me, and everybody recognize me street. It's good. And after every fight I go, but now I don't go this time because I think it's only one country still. They have a quarantine 2 weeks. 2 weeks
quarantine.
I have quarantine. Yeah. Because I'm still a Georgian citizen, and for Georgian citizens, we have to quarantine 2 weeks. So if you're American or any other country, you just go straight, no problem. I don't know what's the rules this. It's all government. I don't know, like politics, but I don't know, like.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy. There's a lot of that. But that's why I wanted to bring up the whole American dream thing, because what you're all about, that is the American dream. That is the definition.
It's inspiring.
It is. You know, it's just putting your head down and working hard and just reaping the benefits of what opportunity can bring you if you're prepared and you want it.
And work hard.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Did we find out what the animal is? Oh, okay. So this is, it's like a sheep.
Sheep, yeah.
It's a sheep.
It's made from sheep.
Interesting.
Yeah, sheep.
Okay.
Sheep.
Sheep.
And then sheep is white, and then the sheep is black too.
But black and dark.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
black sheep.
Black sheep is, this is, this is from black, yeah, whatever I wear is black shit. Yeah, but yeah, this is the animal.
Yeah.
This is warm. That's why they was, you know, like, this is natural, you know, they just, whatever, when they eat, they kill, they eat, and then from the skin, they make head. That's it, simple.
That's cool. We'll have to rock it the next time you come out. We'll do a piece. The next Schmo and the Pro, what we do, I'll have to wear it. You'll have to wear it.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a great piece.
How about the next Schmo and the Pro? You guys go to Red Rock and run.
Oh, my gosh. This
you
guy.
You should make him do it.
Let's go.
We could. I could try. I could do my best to hang up with you.
That would be great.
I'm going to need a lot of CBD rub with my joints from that one to survive that. But that's that's really cool. And you're here for the week, and we appreciate it. Dennis's fights tonight. I mean, this is huge.
Yes.
He's that MMA contract.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be big because I'm sure he's going to do very good, and I'm sure he's going to finish our opponent. And because he's hungry, he was training hard, he done all hard work, and then once he's gonna win this fight and he's gonna sign UFC, everybody knows about this already. So, and I can't wait one more Serrano go.
Awesome. Well, what's any final message you want? Address the camera number 3. Tell all the Machine fams, the mob, the Volashvili fans out there worldwide. What's your message for them? Sign off of the Schmozone podcast.
I'm training hard. I'm training every day hard, and I'm training also smart. I just want to fight, and I just want to show my friends, my teammates, and my fans a good fight. And I can't wait to step in the cage next time and show them. Great fight and make them enjoy. That's it.
Any final thoughts, Ellen?
Well, like you said, thank you so much for coming on the Schmozone podcast. We appreciate it. We can't wait to watch you back in the octagon, hopefully soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, guys. I
appreciate it. Long overdue. The Machine.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's got a Schmo glasses. This is
the Schmo Sheen.
The Schmo.
I look like a Schmo, or I look like a Rambo.
the Schmambo. The Schmambo.
The Schmambo.
Hey, that's another nickname.
All right, let's go.
This is episode 31 of the Schmozone podcast. We're out.